Hello and welcome to the Castcast. I'm Ilse.
I'm Ella.
And I'm Jess.
Who are you?
SDM.
I'm an angel.
And today we are discussing Season 8, Episode 21, The Great Escapist, written by Ben Edlund. And in fact, this is the last Ben Edlund joint on the show, as far as I know.
Oh my God, I didn't realize that.
So this is kind of, I mean, a moment of silence.
No. Pretty sad stuff.
Oh, I was having so much fun.
If I'm wrong, we'll post a correction in the show notes. But I do think that this
think
is
right.
The
you're
last
right.
one.
I'm in the wiki. You're right.
Oh, I mean, but you know what? At least we've done one part of our completionist thing now. You know, we've done the Ben Edlund episodes. We can say that we are scholars on this topic. This episode was directed by Robert Duncan McNeil. He did a great job, personally, I feel. I really loved I'll talk about it later. And it aired on May 1st, 2013, initially. Can I drag you guys to the mailroom real quick?
Yeah. No need to drag. I will come along.
Yeah, I'll walk under my own power. Thank you, though.
Okay. It sounds like you don't want me to touch you, but I'll take it, I guess. It's fine. So we have an email that we got quite a while ago specifically for this episode. We got this from Lauren, aka The Replacements on Tumblr. I'm not going to spell it for you. If you find Lauren, good job. If you find Lauren, you're lucky. Lauren's great. And they said, I wanted to get this out before I forget. And then and in parentheses, because I will forget, but season 8, episode 21, The Great Escapist, has some really fascinating trivia to me that I need to share with you guys. I need to paint you the picture, the full picture. Okay, so I'm a Trekkie, a huge Star Trek fan. Lately, I've been watching Star Trek Voyager and listening to the Delta Flyers podcast hosted by Garrett Wang and Robbie Duncan McNeil, two of the actors from the show. They play Harry Kim and Tom Paris. So I'm listening to their podcast, right? And Robbie talks about how he left acting to do directing and likes to get technical in his discussions, which I love. He's clearly very good at his job, directing, and loves it a lot. So I'm like, I wonder if I've seen anything he's directed. So I went to his IMDb page, and guess what? He has directed lots of stuff I've seen. But more importantly, he's directed 2 episodes of Supernatural. Season 1, Episode 6, Skin, and Season 8, 21, The Great Escapist. Both are episodes that stand out to me in terms of being extremely visually captivating and almost exploratory with camera work and directing style. This is absolutely fascinating to me as a fan of both Star Trek and Supernatural, and as an enjoyer of good television. I totally agree. That's what I was going to say earlier, but I didn't know he did Skin. That's so cool. And then they say, I think Robbie did a great job of capturing Ben Edlund's story, A21, and bringing it to the audience. Knowing all the Star Trek references Edlund likes to throw into his episodes, Star Trek 4, Save the Whales. It made me wonder if Robbie and Edlund are friends, and if it was a favor that he came back after 8 seasons to direct Edlund's last Supernatural episode. Aww. I love to speculate, and I'm choosing to believe they are besties. Much to think about from Lauren. This is lovely. I love that you are just imagining friendships between people that we don't know and have no idea.
I really hope it's true.
Is like, but I love that.
I did Google their names together and I'm not getting any images, but we also don't have any photos together. So, you know,
well,
that could mean nothing.
We have certain restraints. Seeing as like last month was the first time any of us have been in a place the other has been, and the other was not there at the time.
Yeah!
So, you know, like, we have certain things going on.
But we've touched the same ground.
Literally walking around a very normal town, just being like, oh my God, Jess has been here.
Oh my God, they've been at
the whole time.
I can't imagine what it was like. I would have been constantly blowing up your phone, Jess. I can't imagine.
It was so silly. And like, because I was with my family, I said it, and they were just kind of like, okay.
Okay.
But yeah, it's really cool that he did Skin as well. I didn't, like, that really does make the point, because I think Skin has really, like, that shot of, like, fake Dean sloughing off the skin is so fucked up and crazy.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy a lot of, like, little bits of set design of this episode and, like, little touches, like, you know, Kevin having a sticky note on his fucking face and Crowley working out of a gaudy theater with two massive fakes sarcophaguses against the walls, and all, like, a bunch of the seats are fucked up. I just think it's fun. It's a really fun episode. And then, of course, you have the jumping between Biggersons, which is a great concept, and it's executed fairly well with the lighting, and he just sits in different places and probably, like, a screen behind him to just give him a different background. But I think it works.
Yeah.
You know, for the time, for what it is, it's really good. I do enjoy it.
He's directed a fair bit of TV, just, like, a lot of, like, one or a few episodes of different shows. I wonder if he directed Dawson's Creek. I wonder if he ever directed Jensen in that.
No. That's crazy.
That would be wild.
We're just going to hit
up
one more. That is funny. That is hilarious.
Yeah. And also the episode, the first episode of season 6 that he directed is called The Song Remains the Same. And if these photos are to be believed, Jensen Ackles is in this episode.
Stop.
Yep, he is.
I can't believe it's called The Song Remains the Same.
I tried to look this guy up, Robbie Duncan, and I didn't pull up a Star Trek actor, though.
It's Robbie Duncan McNeil.
Oh, Robert Duncan?
Yes.
Oh, Robbie Duncan. Okay, hang on.
Robert, yeah.
Robert Duncan McNeil.
I see. Oh, God.
You see it. Do you guys mind if I move on to one more ask before we
move
into the episode?
Yeah, thank you so much for telling us that. That's obviously made us have all the brain worms and need to do further research. So maybe...
Yeah, there's investigation that has to happen now.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lauren. It's always great to hear from you. Another, like a fucking day one, Samael N. Hi, good to hear from you as always. Samuel N. says, greetings, y'all. I'm likely too late to get this to you before the next ep releases. Yes, sorry, you were. And this isn't really a crass question, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on the recent Garth Benny actor marriage news. If only for humor and implications, especially since you're on the Purgatory season. The Rammies, if you will. Sincerely, Samuel. The Rammies, if you will. I feel like Ella has said this to me so many times that I can't disconnect it from her. So
the Rammies.
Weird that you said it. The Rammies.
There are many Rammies to this, but it's very sweet. I think it's sweet. And yeah, it's like there's been a lot of couples that have come out of Supernatural. So that's really cute. Mm. I feel like we might have talked about this before we got the question, but I don't know. Maybe I was just having a conversation with one of you about it. But
so could be.
sure. Happy for those crazy kids.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's pretty much it. I don't have really... I mean, I don't know them, so I don't really have any opinions other than being like, that's lovely. I love love.
Yeah.
I think it's always great if people are happy.
And, like, the idea of Garth Benny is also fun because, like, it's like a vampire and a werewolf.
I would love that
in classic
universe.
Classic
combo. Star-crossed lovers. That would be hilarious. I would actually love to check the AO3 tag now. It should be pretty funny.
I think
funny
it's been popping
there.
Off. I imagine, knowing
probably.
The fandom.
I was listening to one of my other podcasts, Who Weekly.
How dare you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about this because somebody wrote it and asked about it. And it's just funny because, like, they're talking about DJ Qualls, who, like, was in Eurotrip or something. He's in some movie that was a big like a hit, basically. And they were talking about him from that, and it's like, obviously we know him from Supernatural, but he has this whole, like, career as, like, being a comedy actor in this teen movie or whatever. So that was pretty cute. And then somebody else called in to, like, talk about DJ Qualls, and I'm like, Supernatural fandom, like, chill.
We need to relax.
But they can't.
Do The funny thing is that he's not in Eurotrip, but Travis Wester, who plays one of the ghost faces, is in Eurotrip. But DJ Qualls is in a very similar film, which is, please hold, The New Guy. And also a film called Road Trip.
Road Trip. The
Road Trip, New Guy. They're both kind of college. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's not like the main in that, but he is the main in The New Guy, which I also definitely, it was definitely the first thing I saw him in, because it's one of those DVDs that would have been like a cheap weekly at the rental place. I don't know if that resonates with anybody.
No, I get what you're saying. Yeah. we used to have like 5 for 50 rand, I believe, and then you had them for like 5 days. So you could get 5 DVDs. It was so fun. We had a great time. We had a ball.
He's only in 6 episodes of Supernatural.
Yeah, which is pretty crazy.
Can we continue on?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's rock and roll.
Let's fucking go. Yeah. Ella, take us away.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Who? Am I ready? Let's see. Okay. When I started this episode and there was the, you know, previously on, I thought to myself, wow, I really have no idea what's been going on. I don't remember the last time I watched these episodes, and so I really paid attention. I just knew that, like, Cass is obviously, like, on the run, but the boys and the trials, I didn't watch them. I should have watched what was going on, because I was very, like, wait, at the start, I got tricked, because I forgot that they had found where Kevin was, so I was, like, I fully got tricked. But anyway, the boys, the quote-unquote boys, as I thought they were at the start until I realized they were acting weird, they bring Kevin, like, the other half of the demon tablet. The other half of it is, like, stashed somewhere. And then, bam, you know, it's revealed that, like, it's not actually them. It's, like, some kind of weird mirage trick, I guess. I don't really understand the technology that they're working with here, but it's just two other dudes wearing their clothes.
It's magic!
Magic?
Magic, sure. Yeah.
I guess there's magic in this universe. I forgot about that. they could be demons. They could be just some guys. I like the idea that they're just some guys. Well, yeah, true. Crowley, like, scolds them for not being as insane about the minutia of the performance as he would be. And then next up, we go into the bunker. Sam is really sickly. I kind of want to feed him soup. He won't let Dean look after him, but he's fine. He's all like, this is part of it, bro. The trials are changing me. That makes me sad, but, let's keep going. The boys get an email from Kevin that he set up to send if he wasn't there to reset it. And then he is like yelling at the boys, because he's kind of like, I'm dead. Fuck you. That's really upsetting. So they think he's dead. The boys get obviously upset at that. they get all of his notes. So they're going through them. And then, or like, you know, he says they're going to have all his notes. Sorry, I'll cut that out. I read that the wrong way around. And then Dean brings up the great point that they should have moved him to the bunker. Yeah, which is like, of course you should have. Like,
yeah, duh. Just
alone on some fucking boat. Cass, we see him. He's at a Biggerson's restaurant. He's just being very much himself towards this nice waitress about coffee. Then he disappears after kind of like picking up on some message vibe. Two angels then like show up there looking for him. Then we then see them talking to Naomi, mainly one of them, and they're like, he's at every fucking Biggerson's at once. And she's like, okay, if we can't catch him, we have to just make him stop. I love Ben Edlund. That is just such a great concept.
So
we're then back at the bunker. Sam and Dean are researching all the notes that Kevin sent, and Sam like has deduced from something he already knew about from when he was younger that they should go to this area, to these mountains, and see if Metatron is there, which, sure. We then cut back, and Cass is, like, we see him flashing between all the Biggersons, like you were saying before, Elsa, and then he gets stopped at one because they have, like, they have like killed everyone at that Biggerson's except the one waitress that he was talking to earlier.
Oh my god.
And I forgot what she's saying. Do you guys have off the top of your head what she's saying?
She says you have to stop.
Yes, yes. And so she just says you have to stop over and over again. Mm, over and over.
And she says they said you have to stop.
You have to stop. You have to stop. She just keeps saying,
yeah.
Upsetting.
It's fucking yeah.
So Cass, you know, does get trapped by that. It works. We then flash to the boys at the casino. No, sorry, to a casino hotel combo, I guess. The guy at the reception, he has really great hair, but he doesn't really speak to them. And Sam is like losing it. Like he's hearing shit. He can't like see straight. Loves it. Then we're back at the Biggersons. Naomi and Cass have possibly one of the most insane conversations that ever happens on the show, but we should dig into that more later. But long story short, we learn we learn that Cass has had his memories taken from him heaps of times before, and like Cass seems to be learning that at the same time. He like keeps refusing to tell her where the tablet is hidden. We go back to Kevin on the boat. He asks the not real boys to go get him some food. It's this really elaborate list. Some pad thai, which sounds nice. Then we go back to the hotel. Sam is being so silly. I love him so much.
He's so fucking funny.
And so he's being crazy. So Dean's like, stay here, you loon. I need to go investigate. He's speaking to this local, like, indigenous man who tells him about how there's this, like, you know, story about God's, like, messenger trading blessings for stories. And then he sees that, like, the receptionist is, like, in this old photo and looks the same. So he's kind of like, oh, you know, I can see what the blessings are, I guess, staying alive.
Mm.
I'm sure this, like, indigenous aspect of the episode is at least, like, partially offensive. But I don't know enough about it to know if it is.
I'm sorry, man. I'm not American. I don't know all
Yeah,
that.
I don't know enough. Yeah. So Sam is like at the hotel still just getting worse. He is walking around even though he shouldn't be, and then he sees that there seems to be like a room that he's getting a bunch of boxes delivered. He opens one up and there's books. And then he comes back and he tries to call Dean, but he passes out, I guess, from, like, a fever. I think that's what we realize later. Then we go back to Cass. He's still being, like, tortured by Naomi. He's kind of like, fuck you, I'm keeping the tablet away from everyone. Like, it's not just you. Like, no one, you know, should have this. Yeah. And in a crazy turn of events, Crowley rocks up and he shoots one angel dead, and then he shoots the other angel, like, not dead. I guess, once again, the lore of how angels die is a bit of a grey area. But that was really crazy, and turns out he shot them with, yeah, angel-killing bullets. So we then cut back. A lot of back and forth this episode, not a lot of long scenes. Dean has put Sam in an ice bath, and Sam's like, bro, Metatron is here. He's at the hotel. I can feel it. And Dean's like, okay, sure. Back to Crowley and Naomi. They are having a cunt off, I called it in my notes. Oh, and Naomi flies away as she gets shot.
That's correct. That's so good.
Turns out that one of the angels was working for Crowley. Crowley, like, shoots Cass in the gut, and then they leave the Biggersons. They're at some, I don't know where they are, like a different person's office, I guess,
ugly
just so Crowley
office.
Can sit in a chair.
Did you see how bad the wallpaper was? Ugly office.
It's like, if I remember correctly, I feel like there's Korean on the window, so it's probably just some like local thing.
Truly, I don't know or care. All I know is that their wallpaper is fucked. Get it together.
I will investigate when I'm taking the screenshots. So Crowley kind of is like doing his evil villain thing, and he says that he kind of deduces that Cass must still have the tablet touching him because he knows that's what broke the bond with Naomi. And so he gives him a good old, we haven't had one in a while, a fisting, and he grabs it out of his gut. Very gory. And then I was like, sorry, I have to be gross because I'm sad that Cass is in so much pain. He's really in a bad way this episode so far.
My note.
So this next scene, yes.
My note was, why is everyone always guts deep in Cass? But to be fair, he's often guts deep in other people. I think it's just bad.
He's versatile.
Okay, so I was also nasty about it. Don't feel bad.
This next scene, I can't figure out a way to be nasty about it. It just makes me upset. I just love Sam in the scene so much. So he remembers thinking that he could never go on a quest like that because he's not clean. Like, I hate it here. That's so fucked up. Sam tells Dean that the trials, well, he thinks that the trials are purifying him and he seems like happy about it. So, then they go into Metatron's room and he's like pointing a gun at them and he's just like super dorky old dude. Shout out to Curtis Armstrong. So
he's real fun.
If for some reason, I don't think this is true, but if you never watch the rest of the show, you know, he's around for a little bit and gets up to some stuff. So this is fun. So they're trying to tell him like where the Winchesters, and he has no idea who they are. Sam's like, we're the freaking Winchesters, and he has no clue. He's asking about all the archangels, like, as if they're not fucking dead. Back to the boat, we have the second cunt-off for the episode. Kevin and Crowley are having a conversation. Crowley comes in being like, oh, you figured it out. And Kevin's like eating this rib and he's like, of course I figured it out. These guys were like too nice to me, which is so fucked.
It sucked.
And it's true. They were really like, okay, we'll get you pad thai, which I just don't imagine.
Like a list of at least 3 things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we'll travel all across town to get it. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Then we are back with Metatron. Like I said, so many short scenes. He's like, you know, what about Raph, you know, and they're like, he's dead too, bitch, like, you know, you don't know anything, like, what the fuck, and Sam is like, he can't hear anything, and he's like yelling, and he's like, can you turn it down, and Metatron's like, oh my god, like, you're doing the trials, like, you're resonating with the word of God that is, like, coming out of me. Metatron, like, then explains his whole deal, like, about how he was a normal angel before he was, like, tasked by God to make the tablets before God, like, fucked off. And then when the archangels were, like, in control of heaven, when they started, like, fighting and shit, he realized that, like, he had a lot of power, I guess, because he knew about that. And so he just, like, fucked off.
Correct move.
Yeah. The angel who we find out, I don't know if we found this out earlier, but his name is Ion.
Yeah.
He's explaining himself to Cass. The Paul Dahl, he seems like maybe he would be, like, a part of Team Free Will in another life, bit of an Anna. Like, he has questions, he has doubts. He's obviously going about it in a bad way and, you know, was part of killing all those humans back in the Biggersons. But,
I mean,
yeah, never mind that. Moving on. Cass wants him to shut the fuck up, and he makes him by forcing the angel bullet into his eye, killing him. So
sicko mode.
He digs a bullet out of his gut.
That's where I've got in my note. I need capitals, woohoo.
He digs a bullet out of his gut, bro. Are you serious?
Oh my god. He gets his hand in there and then he's like, okay.
Yeah, amazing.
Back at the hotel, Metatron's like, have you guys, like, heard about storytelling? Like, I love books. I love reading. And he says something that fucks so hard. He says, when you create stories, you become gods, which is, like, okay. And then
Ed Lundian, honestly.
Can you imagine if he wrote season 15? Okay, anyway. Sam and then Dean, like, just start yelling at him about being like, you have all this power to make the world better and you've just been, like, sitting here reading like a loser. Like, mm-hmm. You suck. What the fuck? And that Metatron's be like, oh, shit.
Rude. Rude of them.
Yeah, yeah. That's what but, I thought. They just don't get it.
They don't get what it's like for a reader.
He was busy. There's a lot to read.
Right? I'm having so much fun with Fire and Blood. What do you want me to do? Like, not read it?
I know Metatron is reading some absolute dog shit also.
That's literally one of my notes. One of my notes is how much cheap schlock does Metatron read, do you reckon? Because, like, Oliver Twist was one of the books that Sam found and was probably for copyright reasons.
I was like, is he just up to Oliver Twist? Like, is he going in chronological order? Or
he is reading Penny Dreadfuls. He's still back there. He's catching up. I think he's reading sporadically. He wants to know about the pop culture, but he also... So he's just sort of every day he's in there.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if there's just some like Amazon worker who is just looking at his account being like, I think this guy might be trying to read every book.
He's reading Chuck Tingle. I know he is.
Anyway. So then we cut back to Kevin. He's being so brave. And I've written in my notes, he's the winner of the cunt off.
Oh, for real.
Yeah, yeah. Crowley is like choking him about it, because he's like, well, I'm a bit stronger, so, you know, if I can't beat you in my mind, I'll just choke you, I guess, because I don't know, I'm short. And then he gets like almost like angel flown, like it's like Metatron like somehow sucks him there because
yeah,
but he like it's crazy because Kevin seems to like glow with like angel power for a second, kind of right. To get Crowley off him and like burns Crowley. Crazy, very cool. And then Metatron like heals him a bit because I guess he got fucked up obviously by getting choked by Crowley. Metatron says that he can erase angel warning. He can wait. Say that again. He can erase angel warning. Which is pretty cool. That's how he like got in there and got to Kevin. Dean is like then like trying to convince him that he kind of could like help them close the gates of Howl. And then Kevin is like, I'm awake. And then he's like, I've got the other half of the tablet. And he's like, I know what the third trial is. And then Metatron kind of like beats him to the punch. And he's like, it's to cure a demon. Cause like, obviously he knows what the trials are. He knows all of them. He wrote them down. And then like, you know, that's supposed to be like a big show stopping kind of sentence. The next thing we see is the boys driving home, kind of just talking about the trial and Sam being like, you know, yeah. And Dean being like, no, man. And then, they nearly run over Cass because he just appears on the ground in the middle of the road. I guess he was trying to fly into the car and missed because he's so fucked up.
Like some fucking roadkill.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I kind of wish they ran him over. Like, that would have been funny. But also, I don't want him to get run over. But yeah, then that's it. That is the episode.
A lot happens in this episode, honestly.
It's packed.
Yeah.
It is
yeah.
packed.
Yeah, we're just
going to do our best. Can I start with something completely inane?
You may.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. Thanks for your consideration. There is when Crowley figures out what Cass did to keep the tablet safe, like that he kept it inside himself so he wouldn't stop touching it. He says, oh, you're a pip, you are. You are nasty. He says, oh, you're a pip, you are. You're a pip, you are. And I was like, what the fuck does that mean? But apparently it's originally American English, and then I guess it got into the UK, I suppose. And it means something remarkably good, an excellent or very attractive person or thing. But of course it could be used, like, sarcastically. And I was like, okay. I mean, okay.
So he's kind of being like...
He's like, you hot, cool, smart thing.
You think you're top shit.
You're top shit, huh?
Yeah, okay.
Love it. I just thought, you know, a little bit of context can't hurt.
Thank you.
Crowley's really good in this episode. just like, he is losing cunt offs all the time. But he is so fun to watch.
But he's competing, and that's admirable.
he's competing with Naomi and Kevin. He was never going to win.
He's making them possible, the which is like, you that's a really that important, you know, like without right. him, they yeah. would not be doing that. Mm-hmm. So good.
This is I true. Think. That's true. I can also say with confidence, and this is going to sound crazy, I think in this episode, Kevin would have won a cunt off with Naomi. And that is my song.
That's what I'm saying. That's, yeah, it's kind of like, yeah. You know, Crowley and Naomi was like the first round. And then like the second oh, yeah. boss is Kevin, but then Kevin wins that one.
Kevin does win that one.
That's a gamer term.
Kev.
For anyone who may not be such
oh
a gamer.
Oh my god, he's so...
Winning?
Jess knows about
no,
this.
No, like the like a boss.
Oh, a boss fight?
Like fighting a boss. Yeah.
Word.
word, she says. oh my god, okay.
There's just, yeah. like all Ben Edlin episodes, there is just so many great quotes in this episode. Like, everyone is just saying things in, like, there's just this bit of extra spice on everyone's lines.
Mm.
I just don't even know where to start.
Yeah, dialogue's always good.
Have you guys got anywhere you want to jump into?
Okay, I love when Sam gets the hunch, he sees the petroglyph that looks, or he sees the marking on the tablet that, well, technically that is a petroglyph if we're going to be real, but mm-hmm. he's like, oh, it looks like a petroglyph that I studied back in a humanities course at Stanford, and Dean is expressing disbelief and whatnot, and he's like, we should go there, and Dean is like, on a hunch? Wait, where is it? He's like... He says, on that hunch, you can barely function. And then Sam goes, I'm only going to get worse, like, defensively. Like, yeah. And it's so good.
The he's fact so that he's fun like, in this episode.
He's so funny.
It's just like, the mask is off. He has, like, he's like.
He's insane. He's insane.
He's so raw.
I truly forget sometimes that Sam is not okay. But
he's not good.
He's so fun in this episode. I wish he was always this unhinged, or at least this open about being unhinged.
I like how bad he looks.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did a pretty good job okay. making him look ill. Yeah. You know?
I love it. He looks great. never looked
he
better.
He looks sickly and handsome. Do you remember that YouTube comment thing?
I love when someone's just like wasting away.
Oh, yeah. He's giving TB beauty. He's giving a TB beauty.
Oh, it's my fave. Oh, he's got consumption. Poor thing.
Yes, sir. Poor thing. That's not a joke, though. People die from TB. I shouldn't be joking about that. Anyway, moving along.
I love that, like, what happens in this episode, although there's so many scenes, but a lot of it is relatively simple. But I think just, like, the extra flavor of Sam losing it makes everything that him and Dean are doing so much more interesting. Because so they essentially are just worried in the bunker, and then they're at the hotel, yeah. and then they talk to Metatron. Like, that's all they're up to this episode.
Yeah.
But it's always so silly.
I really like how backseat Dean is for this episode. I think they could have done a little bit more of that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes he really is just momming people.
Yeah, and I think it was a good line in this episode where he was being the mum of the group, you know, he was yeah. like, but he wasn't being dismissive to Sam when he was bringing stuff up. He was being receptive to Sam's like, wavelength.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, yeah. I can't believe what you're saying right now. Is this Dean? Are we sure?
It's almost like you can write an interesting dynamic without one just bullying the other, but I think writers in the show forget about
Wouldn't
that.
Wouldn't that be cool?
You can't? Oh,
no,
shit.
Sorry.
Well, someone tell Ben Edlin because he's out there doing this.
Disinformation. what did I want to tell you guys?
What is that?
Fuck. Okay. Can we get... fucking hell, Kevin. The fact that they get that email from Kevin and they're like...
Kevy.
Dean goes, oh... We should have moved him here. And he, like, sweeps a bunch of shit off of a table because he's so sad and angry. And I was like, yeah.
I'm like, you're literally useless.
What were you doing? Why didn't you move him there? Why didn't you do more to make sure he was
Did
safe?
Did they have a conversation about this? Like, I don't think it's mentioned.
Perhaps we missed
yet.
It.
I don't know.
But, like, I think maybe Kevin felt safer away from the Winchesters, which, fair. But, like...
Mm.
It just, the whole thing with Kevin is so sad, and they did such a shitty job of caring for that kid. Because Dean expresses all this compassion towards Kevin later when he thinks he is dead.
Yeah. It's like, you're so late. Metatron.
It's so, you're too late, and also, fuck you. You know?
Absolutely. And it's also like, you guys, like, they did not make him a prophet, obviously, but also, like, they have so little care for the fact that this dude is, like, a little high schooler, like, his wonderful girlfriend, he's Channing, RIP, like, we'll love you forever, Channing. I don't know. I just, like, I find the Kevin stuff is, like, so upsetting.
He's a kid. He's a teenager. What is he supposed to do? I mean, he's fantastic.
Yeah, this episode really illustrates it all. Like, it's really shoving it in your face. It's not just one scene. We keep coming back to him. Just, he's, like, already lost it. And then you can kind of see that he seems to be testing the other Dean. So it's, like, he's just so smart, even in this, like, insane situation. Like,
yes. He's a genius, and he's great at handling shit. He shouldn't have to be, though. People should be trying to take care of him, especially these people who know how insane and difficult it is.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I'm sorry. Just, like, he should have killed the Winchesters, whatever, man.
I don't know. I feel like, obviously, besides what happens to Kevin at the end, like, I think that this does, like, this is kind of the turning point where I think they do take him, like, a bit more under his, like, wing. Like, I feel like, doesn't he end up at the bunker, like, after this or something? It's like they learned the lesson, I guess, but it took him being dead.
It's not like they weren't kids dealing with shit they shouldn't have had to deal with. How do you not know? Are you so fucked up?
But also, like, we know that in certain cases, Sam doesn't really give a shit, because he's like that about Adam. Remember when Dina's like, oh, he's just a kid, like, we have to be nice to him. And Sam was like, fuck him. You're getting the fucked up childhood.
Yeah. I think, I mean, also, he did this, like, he just ignored Kevin for a year. So, like, we know that he doesn't really think about it.
Sam fucked them kids, Winchester.
I mean, we have to say it.
Actually, I'm obsessed.
Do you think that he was kind of, like, related to Kevin's, like, he's kind of like a nerd in the way that Sam was at school, I guess. So he's kind of like, he'll be fine. He'll figure it out. Like, he's thinking that he's, like, going to be okay. Cause, like, he also thinks that he should also just deal with everything that happens. Like, it's a kind of projection.
Like, I think that he thinks that he did, like, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, look at me. I'm fine. Meanwhile, he's, like, doing these trials that are killing him.
And he's
like, yes, yes, this is perfect. I'm getting pure. Like, bro.
So we skipped the second trial episode, which I honestly, I can't remember at all. But another episode that we skipped is Freaks and Geeks. And if we're thinking about, like, young people and hunting, like, that episode, it's like about that. And so it's funny that they were kind of like, oh, like, this Chrissy character, like, the boys are gonna, like, empathize with her, but then, like, at the same time, like, Kevin just got Kevin on a boat, and he's only, you know, a couple years older, I guess, like, maybe a few, but not that much.
It doesn't, no. Why, guys? I hate it. Why is so much responsibility? Like, I get it. This is, like, a cosmic thing. But you don't have to make him deal with it alone just because he's a teenager that says he should deal with it alone. He's a teenager.
Yeah.
Dean isn't even letting Sam deal with his magical illness on his own. He's there, like, making him a fucking cayenne brew.
Kitchen sink stew.
Cayenne. I think that's not serious. But, yeah.
But what does it mean? What does it mean? I'd be trying to think about what it could mean. Because
we can look it up if you want, but I don't think that it actually is made in the sink, my friend.
Does it mean, like, everything and the kitchen sink? Is that where we're at?
Probably, okay. But yeah.
I guess so.
Thanks.
But what I'm saying is they could have fucking took care of him. You get what I'm saying.
At least, if he's going to be on the boat, at least get him some, like, high quality groceries, You guys, don't you have, like, don't they have, like, fucking, what are those, like, magic fucking credit cards at the moment? Like, get him some vitamins, some, he should be, like, really stocked up on that stuff. He
instead of just using uppers. His brain.
Yeah.
Like, Dean gets this kid uppers at some point. I remember the screenshots. I remember the scene. Dean gets him uppers and Sam's like, whoa, and he doesn't do anything about it. Like, what?
What are the uppers? Like, caffeine pills? Like, what?
I don't know. Like, but
Addies.
Addies, probably.
Oh, my God.
It's not cool.
He got him them amphetamines.
He got him on a little bit of amphetamine. Probably they have their own baggage about, like, growing up too fast and doing weird shit that you're not supposed to do, taking whatever you have to just to get shit done. But that is not right. It's not okay to do that to a different kid. Like,
yeah.
I can easily imagine that maybe Dean was popping Addies and shit, or he was, maybe, because he makes a joke in a later season about roofies, maybe he was taking some to sleep. I don't know. Like, I genuinely would believe it.
I was skipping, I went back and looked at the episodes we missed, and, like, there's the one with Charlie, there's the one with, like, the trial, and a lot of it, the Kevin stuff is, like, on the back burner. Like, he's just there, he's sorting it out. And I wonder if this is kind of, like, they didn't realize the rammies of him kind of just being in the background working on this, like, meaning that the boys really were kind of letting him linger there, you know? Like, they kind of thought, oh, we'll just go back to that. Let's, you know, go do XYZ. But it's like, no, don't you guys realize, like, how shitty that is of the boys? And, like, that's actually not cool. It doesn't really, like you said, it's not that it doesn't make sense, but it's a big mistake. And I think that we don't even get, yeah, we don't even get really the kind of weight of the mistake until, like,
yeah,
the next season. But even then, it's not, I don't think it's as full on. Yeah, yeah. Which is just a bit not on. But yeah, this, I do like how this episode, Kevin calls it out.
I mean, I love Kevin. I just hate what he goes through.
Kevin's life sucks so bad.
Kevin's, he's having it, like, and we're on the show where shit sucks. Like, come on.
Damn.
Like, these two boys have, like, been to hell for, like, maybe hundreds of years or whatever, and their life doesn't suck as much as whatever the fuck's going on with Kevin.
Yeah, they got a new house.
They got a new house. It's massive.
Kevin's living on a boat.
The water pressure in there is good.
And then he's like, and then when he, like, realizes that that something's not right with the Winchesters because they were too nice to him. They got him too good of food.
That made me angry.
It's crazy.
These guys suck bad.
These guys suck so bad. I think part of it was, like, he was like, oh, well, they wouldn't go and get me all that food when there are leftover burritos in the fridge. And I was like, I guess that makes sense because they probably have a weird relationship with, like, food and money, whatever. But, like, it's the least you could fucking do is get this kid some nice food. You have this massive money credit card. Big money.
I love how Kevin was sus from, like, that first kind of interaction because the boys, like, forgot the secret knock or whatever. But then Sam is using all these quips, and then Crowley immediately is like, Dean's the one that uses all the quips.
Yeah.
Sam is more basic, more sincere.
Love it.
True. Do you think they just lifted it straight from, like, actual discussions directors had?
Totally. It's like a writer's conversation. It. Totally.
Crowley's being really funny in this episode too. Love him.
I'm saying.
Great. I was feeling one of the. Oh yeah, sorry. Go.
One of the demons who's like watching the monitors and like they're filming something, was like, he responds to Crowley saying something about how the actors are doing pretty good, and he's like, yeah, you're doing, they're they're not, you chose well, sir, or whatever. And then Crowley goes, of course, if I wasn't so tied up with everything, I could play Dean myself. And I was like, oh my god, get it together, girl, get up. And then and then the guy goes, like, very sincerely, oh, you would make a great dean, sir. And then...
That was so cute.
Crowley looks at him like he did something wrong. It was so funny. And the guy's like, ugh.
We've been in casual talks recently, which has, like, concluded with me kind of being called Crowley-coded in a way. And that... Like, initially felt offensive, because he was evil. I was kind of like, do I give off, like, an evil vibe? And then I was told, no, it's not the evil vibe. It's more...
Distinctly evil, yeah.
Yeah, but it is more so that he is a massive Dean girl, and that is what I bring to the podcast.
That's what you're bringing to the party.
Yeah. So I wasn't proud in that moment.
No, I speculated, and then we got it confirmed from the outside source. It was fantastic. Yeah. I was like, yes.
Hey, Mort,
I
love how being you going? Right. Yeah, so, but I felt good in this episode because he's, again, yeah, hilarious, and he's a hilarious character. The Angel Bullets, so the Angel Bullets are in this episode, and off the top of my head, yep. They are only in maybe one more episode in the alternate universe. Am I right? In that?
I don't.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm checking the wiki. Okay, so I checked, and they reference Angel Bullets in 5 episodes. But it is a lot of the other AU Apocalypse World. But yeah, very fun concept.
Pretty cool.
Angels, it's like they're stronger, they have this blade that's really sharp, but you have to essentially do like hand-to-hand combat with them. And they can jump wherever they want. So being able to shoot them from a distance, and like in this episode, without them realizing that you're there, is pretty scary. And it's like, Cass died a lot of times, and it was never by a bullet.
Can I say something? I think the show abandoned it because it's less fun to watch because we already have so many guns on the show. Mm-hmm. And to see a little bit of knife fights and Cass does a little bit of twirls and tricks and shit. So that's always fun to watch. It's nice to inject a little bit of dynamism into the show rather than just left hand shoot. I suppose the idea is that it's difficult because it's difficult to get an angel blade. So like getting bullets would be hard, you know. Making bullets.
Yeah, true. I think that we have maybe
we've talked about all of it. Let's talk about Cass.
Yeah. Cass, there's a lot to talk about in this ep, and then if we've got time we can jump back onto Sam, I guess.
Doubt that.
We'll have more time for that later on in the season.
Okay, first things first. Greasy hair.
Oh, he's
dirty.
Greasy.
It's greasy. He's and as dirty. Someone of greasy hair experience, basically, yeah, my hair also gets greasy and gross. So.
I also have really oily hair, Jess.
Yeah.
Is that all you had to add?
My fringe gets like very yucky.
Are you one of those people who sometimes will wash your fringe and not the rest of your hair because you're like too much trouble? But this needs to...
No, I wash my whole self. But I'll tell you something real right now.
Yeah.
There have been times where maybe I haven't showered, you know, when I as often as I should have, and suddenly my father has said to me, "Oh, is your hair wet?" And it's not wet.
Wow.
Okay.
These things
grimy girl
to
moment.
Grimy,
grimy girl moment.
I like grimy girls. I like greasy girls.
Jess, I don't know. I don't know how you like feel about dry shampoo, but I realize that I'm able especially when my hair is super bleached and light. I can actually use a bit of cornflour and I put it on my head and then I like brush it out and it like absorbs the oil and I'm able to get like another day out of my hair.
Yeah, I have dry shampoo and stuff, but you know, forehead is so greasy. Like sometimes I like touch my forehead and I'm like, "Girl, what the fuck?"
You have natural occlusive. What the fuck am I talking about?
You'll have great skin when you're older. I think that's what they say about greasy
you'll
skin.
You'll stay very plump and beautiful.
Yeah,
as long as you wear sunscreen. I myself have a drier complexion. Yeah, I always really fucking forget sunscreen. I'll be real. I probably definitely should, because, you know, we're all aging, you know. But and I do, I have a complex about my skin, because I, not to brag, but I don't have very acne-prone skin. I only really get hormonal acne.
Too bad, you're bragging. And
I am bragging, actually. I have really nice skin. I start seeing like fine lines and I freak out. I'm like, I can't. This is one of my good features, TM. I need to keep this shit in order. So I need to go find a good sunscreen that doesn't give me acne, because that's why.
What you need to do is shut SPF. Up your face. Shut up your face.
I look beautiful. I'm beautiful.
I wear hats. I wear a lot of hats.
As someone older than you with acne, I'm winding my arm up like an old timey movie.
You're Popeye-ing me.
Yeah.
I'm beautiful. Like, there's nothing we can do about it.
Order.
I'm beautiful and I'm vain. Deal with it.
Okay. Cass. And speaking of oily, Cass.
He is greasy. He is sad. This man is haggard right now. But he's like sitting down all episode. He's keeping like, it together. When he's not sitting down, he's on the fucking road, on the asphalt, flat. You know. Love him. I do think that he does look like someone who hasn't slept in 3 days, which is funny for an angel to look like that.
Totally, totally. And
I love thinking like, that the tablet has a weird effect on him. Like, maybe he's sweating or something, that, like, because he doesn't usually, things don't usually happen to him like that.
Yeah, well, like he's at least using a lot of energy regularly to, like, fly around, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It must be. So there's a lot going on with his physiology, I think, personally.
Mm, mm-hmm,
that's
mm-hmm,
my mm-hmm. take on it.
I think you're right. It's either that or, like, it was just a really hot day on set and no one really noticed.
No, bro, that's deliberate. Don't do that. Don't do that to me. That has to be deliberate or I'll lose my mind.
Do you reckon, like, in the, like, this week in, like, the hair and makeup department, they just were like, get us the grease, and a big vat came in? Because every scene, him and Sam are glistening with
grease,
some kind of substance that we don't often see. Yeah.
You know what they got? They got, like, either, they got, like, argan oil, because they were like, this is not bad for you. This is good for you. Maybe not argan oil. Argan oil is not great on your skin. Maybe, like,
they
shea
used the leftover lube.
I'm picturing more of, like, oil. A tube from, like, the craft services, and it's, like, a tube,
and just
comically some grease is coming through it and plopping into a bucket in the hair and makeup.
I'm seeing a Ghibli image in my mind where it's like oozing in that Ghibli way.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. So we're on the same page.
Let's
talk about Naomi and Cass's whole thing this episode. Please, please, this is so important.
I was thinking, like, I almost wanted, like, us to read this out, but it's, like, pretty long. I don't know. Crazy. Naomi is so furious with him after what's happened. Oh, yeah. Which
she hates his ass.
She's sick of his shit. She cannot handle it. Cass, wait, let's go in time order. So initially, when Cass is in the Biggersons, I love him telling her name's Kara, the waitress, that he remembers when humans first discovered coffee. Saying that before we started brewing it, they'd chew the berries. And he says, like, that he says, the folktale is true, by the way, you learned it from the goats. And she's just like, she says, been on the road a long time.
she's like, another fucking day, I guess.
Normal day for a waitress, just for accepting a strange conversation.
Another Biggersons. Yeah. Another Thursday at the Biggersons. What can you do?
And then that one guy sees him disappear. He's like, you gotta leave. Yeah.
Well, he's dining and dashing fully. He's just like hopping between places. And the one guy that sees him leave goes to his manager and is like, he was just there and then he just vanished. And they look under the table and then his manager looks at him and he goes, you on the crack again, Perry? And I was like, I love this show. It's so silly.
It's so silly.
Okay, but then things rapidly become less funny from there. In between the jumping, he eventually comes back to that first Biggerson's where Kara is at. And everyone's dead except for Kara, whose eyes are burned out. And and she just keeps saying, you have to stop. They said you have to stop.
It was really the eyes burned out effect was like, we've seen it before, but it's like, whoa.
I mean, impactful. It's in the full light of day now.
Yeah.
I think before it was very like,
totally
chiaroscuro-ish, you know?
And that was like just such a pleasant environment. Like, and you know, he had this like lovely conversation and it just like pulls the rug out. Like it's full on. I can't imagine, like, she's still alive as well. Like it's like, she really conveys like how fucked up that would be. Like it's very upsetting. And then they crack her neck. Did you guys?
Naomi cracks her neck.
Yeah, she's so fucked up. When she comes in. Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah.
I like there's this bit where she's saying like you have to stop and Castor keeps saying no. Like he's just freaking out. Like that was so good because it's like it really worked. Like they were able to stop him by doing something that fucked up. It's like they knew they were like, what is he like? Humans. He seems to be really keen on humans. What can we do? Kill a bunch of them. That'll get his attention.
We'll kill them, all of them.
And give him hope by leaving one alive and severely injured. Because he, like, reaches to heal her and then gets an angel blade to the neck. Where he's, like, forced to stop. And then Naomi immediately kills her. So, then they have the conversation.
Yeah.
This conversation. It's so central to my cast understanding. It's massive.
It's because it's about what Cass thinks angels should be like. It's about what they're actually like. It's about what he believes about himself. It's about what, like, Naomi wants from him. Like, it's so crazy. Do you want to read it? What are we doing? I don't know if I could read it. I know I'm, like, in the role of Cass usually, but this is crazy. Maybe I can read it.
I think it's a two-hander, so I think, I think Ilsa should be Naomi.
Okay, where are we? Where is starting from? From Can't Hear Myself Think?
Yeah.
I don't know how to do a funny impression of Naomi.
I think you can
just read it. I think you can just read it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Cass says, which is insane, we were supposed to be their shepherds, not their murderers.
Not always, Angel. There was that day back in Egypt not so long ago where we slew every firstborn infant whose door wasn't splashed with lamb's blood. And that was just PR.
Well, I wasn't there.
Oh, you were there. You just don't remember it.
How many times have you torn into my head and washed it clean? Okay, I can't be silly about it.
Naomi goes, frankly, too damn many. And she snaps her fingers to make one of the chairs slide over to her. She sits down. This was kind of goofy, I think. Anyway. And then she says, you're the famous spanner in the works. Honestly, I think you came off the line with a crack in your chassis. Insane. Wow. You have never done what you were told. Not completely. You don't even die right, do you? Where is the angel tablet, Castiel?
In the words of a good friend, .. which is funny, bite me.
we'll bite. Don't worry. And then she says to the other angels, go, search all these Biggersons. He must have hidden it along the way. Ugh. Creepy lady, love her. She's so fucking scary. Let's discuss.
You're the famous spanner in the works. Honestly, I think you came off the line.
Let's talk crack about in famous. Your chassis.
I love that's so like my favorite description of him in the whole series is a spanner in the works.
Oh, yes.
It's because he's it's always just like in it's the a way. Great turn of phrase. Love it.
Yeah.
I need you guys to come with me and discuss with me the fact that she says famous, which means that at least among the intelligence department or whatever of heaven, everyone knows that Cass is always, you always gotta watch this guy because he's always fucking doing something.
Cass outsold.
How
rare
is that?
Yeah, it like puts like everything that they've written about Cass so far in this like completely different perspective, because like this is the point where we're like, we realize that it's not just this time, and also essentially that he didn't just fall for the first time in it. Like we've talked about it before in the pod about how like when he is coming over to the human side, essentially falling, blah blah blah, obviously that's the furthest he's gone without, I guess, getting his head fucking bangled up. But he has always had a tendency to be the spanner in the works. Like, that, like, really just recontextualizes everything we've seen so far. And
it really
she's
does.
So mad at him about it. So it's, like, it really gives this weight. Like, she has been dealing with this. Like, it seems like maybe she has been the one dealing with it forever.
Yeah. And it also, like, when she says you don't even die, right, it seems like she has tried to dispose of him probably multiple times. Because, like,
she probably,
is it worth the
like,
effort?
Was so stoked when he exploded. And then was
she
so
was,
stoked
like,
when he exploded
finally.
Again.
She's like, they found a molar. We're back, bitches. He's done.
And he just won't stay exploded is the real problem.
He's always coming, pulling together. That's Cass. He's always pulling it together somehow. Probably badly most of the time, but he is doing it.
Terrible.
What I find fun about this is like the implication that he was probably sabotaging the situation in Egypt. Like, it's yeah, like, either that or he was brainwashed and helping. I don't know which is worse. That he can't remember acts of heroism and, you know.
We've seen him, like, you know, go along with the plan, go along with what his garrison are doing. So
either
it could be
or
the kind of situation
possible.
Where he's like going along with it and then he like fucking, I don't know, sees a baby crying and he's like, oh shit.
Last moment.
Or,
yeah. He's like,
yeah, like there could be something to like trigger him disobeying in a way.
Little bit of what they call the personality factor. He's got it. A little bit of X factor.
Just saying, you've never done what you were told, and it's like,
yeah,
he did. He did do it, just never but to the end.
Never, yeah, 100%. Not completely. She says, not, yeah, I'm obsessed.
Not completely.
And then the other thing is, if he's always been doing this, there's been no one who's consistently been saving him, either because Naomi has such good control of angels, or probably both. Both because she has such good control of angels, and because there has never been like any of the humans he's helped that had enough leverage to fuck with heaven the way the Winchesters have.
Yeah,
and
I truly don't believe it's
because
they're otherwise exceptions. Sorry.
Yeah, and like this, I think that it like this kind of seems like it could mess up the kind of way that it was like really Cass like directly helping the Winchesters do XYZ like in seasons 4 and 5, right? Like to stop what was gonna happen. But like that was kind of with them. So you can kind of see how like maybe Naomi was kinda like, this is unprecedented. I don't know like how to kind of maneuver this as someone who is like, I guess, getting calls to like fix this situation from, I don't know, but because we're at a point in heaven where there is no one who's ruling it,
she's kind of
authority at this point,
or she's just a loose end, right? And she doesn't know who she's supposed to listen to, so she's probably, if I were in her shoes, I would step back and see how things unfold. Because I do think she's smart that way. I think she plays the game, you know?
Right.
It's like the angel tablet existing has, like, kind of, like invigorated her to like fight for her cause, which is like,
yeah, this is heaven, the most important thing. Yes, the most important thing to Naomi is the integrity of heaven as she sees it, as she thinks it should be, right? Mm-hmm. That's her number one thing, and therefore the fact that angels remain obedient. But we also get a glimpse of the fact that she has been in all of their heads, so it's not like angels are. It's I don't think, and I hate to say this, but I don't think Cass is the exception to the rule. I think he's just
he's just the coolest.
He's just the coolest,
nicest, and we like him the most.
We like him the most. And I was a close second.
We talked about this in the past, I think, when we were thinking about, like, you know, how is he different from other angels and all this kind of stuff. And how this is almost like a design flaw in angels, because it's like, if you're making beings that can love God, then they can kind of, like, love something. They can have a cause. They can have, like... a reason, and they have choice, and they kind of, it's like God almost accidentally did that in this universe, and then that creates all these problems, but
or on purpose, which is incredibly cruel.
Well, who fucking knows, like we don't really ever get clarification on that, but it's seemingly, because, you know, he's got control of everything, you know, theoretically. We should talk about the conversation that he has with Ion, I think, next big one.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he does say, like, so there's the next scene where they cut back to Bigger Sins, and he says that, like, he needs to protect the tablet, and Naomi's like, from the angels, and he said, from all of us. And
that's something. She said,
I'm gonna pull you apart, aren't I? Which is upsetting.
I mean...
That's we did not like to see him getting tortured, and then, you know, that's when Crowley and all that kicks off. I love Crowley.
You don't care about
he's just kind of like, he calls him Cass, you know, like he's kind of like, oh, I'm with my buddy again, because like of all season six and shit.
What a weird relationship they have.
Yeah, Crowley I just think that, problematic. Like, it's great.
Well, yes, but mostly I was thinking, God, that is complicated. You guys are weird about each other.
Yeah, like, I love Crowley. He's just obviously, he just is so, he's obsessed with the boys and Cass in a way that I think that they're not, they never think about him.
That's so sad.
Like, I feel like he wants to, he just like wants to be a part of things, you know, like he doesn't, he has like minions, but he wants like, he would like wants the back and forth of like a co-lead, you know,
he wants, yeah like he wants a gang, he wants compatriots.
Yeah.
He's like the CEO, but he actually wants to be in the management team. He wants to be in action. He wants to be, like...
He wants to be throwing around ideas. He wants to be, like, brainstorming. Mm-hmm. He wants to have little, like, fun little back and forths, like...
Oh, yeah. You know. Tete-tete.
He doesn't just have yes top, men around him. He wanted it so bad, and it's, like, so unsatisfying for him.
I know. Poor guy. Well...
Yeah, well,
sometimes you try something and it's not what you think, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's life.
Let's put that letter into the board.
Okay, so let's talk about the fact how Castiel and Ion talk, and they have such different takes on the thing. Because Ion is like, Cass is like philosophically saying, like, we're not machines and this is not how things should be. And then Ion is like, this guy is fucking lost. He's like nihilism freshman, you know? Like, he's going, nothing matters.
I love that Cass says, like, he said, this child was left to us. It's our mission. And then Ion says, do you even know what the mission was? They've been in all our heads. Like,
yeah.
crazy.
Dumbass, he says.
He's not dumbass. He dumbed.
He's not wrong.
He says, you dumb fuck. Just kidding. He doesn't say that.
He's not wrong, but then Cass tells him, you are so wrong.
You are so wrong, brother. Which is some shit I would say, absolutely, and have probably said in my life.
Probably when someone was insulting your little challengers, girly, Tasha.
Oh, yeah. No? Also, Tashi. Yeah, Tashi.
Yeah, just being in the challenges tag. You're so wrong,
brother.
You're so wrong, brother. But I love that he says it all matters, because that's Cass. That is Cass at the core. It all matters.
Literally. It's literally the nihilism thing. Like, they're on other sides of the same conclusion. I when he started digging the angel bullet out, I forgot that he did that, and I was like, yes. Like, I got excited, and then we go to the other scene. I was like, let's get back to the other scene.
When he starts so putting his nasty little fingers in his gut wound, I was like, brother, that is a one-way street to an infection.
Luckily, he's an angel. But then Ion talks also about the fact that, like, there's so much more that he knows than, like, the soldiers in the garrison. And I was like, this must suck. I'm sorry. Sorry about your suffering. But I love that Kez comes up and he's like, you think he's going to be sympathetic? Because he goes, Ion. And then he knocks his ass to the ground and he goes, shut up. And he kills his ass with a bullet that he dug from his gut. Digs it, he pushes it into his eye until he fucking dies. He explodes.
And it's so funny because we're getting this kind of inside, like, scoop into the dynamics that, like, of what's going up in heaven. Like, he says, you know, you were soldiers, and he's saying that, like, essentially he worked upstairs with Naomi, you know, in intelligence.
goofy show.
The way he says it is really funny. He says, we had no option but to live in the dirt. She never reset me completely. I always knew too much. I had to do my job. So it's like there were angels who knew that that happened, and then also knew that, like, it would happen to them, and they just had to kind of rock up every day and go to work. Do you think that Samandriel, like,
yes.
Did he know about it? Like, before?
No. I think he was on a fresh reset. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
I don't think he was. I think he was part of the, like, soldiers, but maybe, yeah, I think he was part of the soldiers. Yeah. I don't think he was part of, quote-unquote, intelligence. I do think thesis statement of this episode is, like, free will is the point, and apathy leads to, like, wanton violence and cruelty and, you know, terror. And I love it. It's a good episode.
It's also really fun that, like, this kind of idea was just, like, essentially a plot device for that episode with Jimmy and stuff, where they were like, we need Cass to kind of get told off by heaven in a way that, like, resets him. And it's like, that's just a little thing, and then now that's led to essentially this whole arc of, like, you know, what's real, like, what's going on, like, I don't know. I just find that fun when they follow a thread like that and it pays off so completely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Word.
Such a gnarly death.
Yeah.
Brutal. Ion, we barely knew ye.
We hardly knew ye.
Cass is just like, he's like, putting the tablet above anything else. Like, he's been so devastated about killing his, like, brothers, you know? He keeps, like, going on about how many angels he's killed. But he's so desperate in this moment to protect the tablet that, like, he's...
It does make you wonder, still killing. Right? Like, how much of it... Like, they talk about operating systems on some kind of instinct that makes this tablet so important to protect. From everyone. I don't know. It's interesting. There's a lot there to mull over. But unfortunately, this one is quite a quick episode, so you'll have to mull on your own. Mull on your own. Talk to us later when we have more time to record. We love you. Let's do the outro.
Oh, that's me.
We didn't do the cast count for this episode. Did you get the cast count?
I don't have it because I had to watch it on Fast.
She had a fair amount.
I can't even guesstimate because I don't have it.
Yeah, it's okay. Well, you guys can figure it out. We'll just simply never know. You can feel it. Well, listen, we'll you know what? It's hard to record sometimes. It's difficult to record.
Sometimes you got to work around life. And that means life happens. That I can't, I have to watch it on my phone while I'm at work on 2X, okay? This is where I'm at.
And she's all doing right? it for you. So we're sorry we don't have the cast count, is my point. But move on.
That's life.
That's my stance.
I was thinking, this is like a good episode, and so it's sad that we are like doing a really quick one on this because I feel like we could talk about it so much more. But if people have specific things they want us to talk about, maybe send us asks and then
we can and then for
go back this, and
yeah the season 8 we wrap up missed. Yeah for the season 8 oh wrap yeah up, big time get into this big more, time yeah
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then we can talk about it as a whole. I think that will be nice.
Separately, has anyone got like $5,000 to $10,000 to help us maybe, I don't know, get in some same time zones, you know, not have to work at our jobs and et cetera.
Yeah.
Sponsor us.
Or maybe just like $1 million.
All right. Are any of you secretly loaded is what I'm asking.
I'm asking.
Can you help?
Yeah.
Ilsa, can you tell me your heart locket?
Oh, it's hard to pick.
Or your hatred locket.
I can do both.
Nice.
My hatred locket.
Hatred locket is a new one. There's a new way to
phrase
it.
This is better. I do like it a lot.
I just thought I might try something. You know?
Do something new.
We can mix it up. Something. It's not illegal.
Jess, I miss you so much. We haven't spoken in so long. You're so fun. Okay.
Not crying to try something.
She wants to do something new. She's creative. Okay, so my hatred locket, which hangs down my back instead of my front.
Whoa.
Yeah. Sultry. Cute, you know? Mm-hmm. I wear a backless little thing, and you're like, ooh, what's that locket? And it's full of hate. I think mine is what I will call a classic Winchester blame shift, where they blame Metatron for the shit that Kevin is going through instead of taking some responsibility for their own actions and the fact of not helping Kevin deal with this shit. Like, true, the fact that there are prophets and their suffering is fucking crazy, but I don't think Metatron came up with a concept.
Word.
And
they're just getting a mirror back at themselves, and they're like, that's bad. How you're acting is bad. It's like, come on, bro.
It's like, okay, fair, maybe he should have intervened. Sure, he could. Mm-hmm. He could have. Mm-hmm. But also, what's a reader to do? Leave his ass alone.
Great book.
Good books in there. And so many bad things. I love when we all read bad things sometimes. We should. It's good for you. It cleanses the palate in a bad way. It's like your medicine.
Yeah, you gotta eat your veggies so that you appreciate like chocolate.
It's not even veggies. It's just like
true. It's not veggies. Sometimes you just have to survive. You need the calories.
Yeah, you have to eat something bad to remember what good things are like. My point is, I think my heart locket. Hello, Jack. My heart locket is probably, I think. Okay, there's so much love in this episode, but my heart locket is probably, I can't not pick it, so it's Cass killing Island with a bullet in the eye pushes in there with his own little fingers, his grubby little bloody hands. Go, Violent King. I love you.
It reminds me of when he cut, is it not Famine, the finger? When he like cuts all the fingers off to get the ring.
Oh, I think it's...
Yeah, my boy gets nasty when he needs to.
Yeah, Pestilence.
And it's one of my favorite things.
Lovely.
Hold on, I'm going to close the door. You guys continue. Just give me a sec.
All right. And now a dispatch from Down Under. Ella?
Oh, I...
Did you like that? Did you like that a lot?
I'll say that you gave it a good crack, but there was a real Christian Kane accent kind of to it. So
does Christian Kane play Australian in something?
Christian Kane's this guy who's been pretending that he's from Australia, and he's a singer, and he's been pretending he's from Australia, but he's not. People have like uncovered that he actually is like from Brunei, and he's American as well. But he puts on an Australian accent. It's a current thing in the internet.
I thought Christian Kane was the guy who from Leverage, who then was in that episode.
Yeah, I know, but wait, I think it's the same name, unless I'm completely getting them mixed up.
Editing, Ella here. It was Clinton Kane, not Christian Kane. Clinton Kane. I'm stupid. Okay, bye.
Oh shit, I forgot about something. Double-sided heart locket when Kevin traps those demons who are pretending to be Sam and Dean, and he has a boombox blasting. What is it? He has it blasting. Spanish Flea by Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass, aka the theme to The Dating Game. It's beautiful. I'm obsessed with him. He's a king. Okay, continue.
he's great. So Down Under, which is where I am.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Where you live.
And that's what correct. I always call it. That's what we all always call it. It's definitely
normal like, thing. Yeah.
Well, maybe you guys don't call it that because to you it's normal. Yeah. Somewhere up above. Mm-hmm.
I would never. Why don't you ever hit
back? Why don't Australians ever hit back? Is the thing
because like, up above makes it. Oh, sound
nobody ever
like
calls it down under.
No one values you highly. I think like that
if you understood the foreign perspective on the US, it's kind of like we feel you don't really want.
I wouldn't call
it's like
the Europe that
you guys.
Above,
you guys are already down.
Get off your high horse.
You're down
idiot.
In many ways.
Topside.
Top side, sure. Die, actually. Fuck yourselves. That's how I feel about it.
Fuck that guy that made the map like that.
I have a lot of resentment towards the global north. There's nothing we can do about it.
I'm spitballing here, okay? Like, I'm trying to solve a problem, and you guys are just, like, not interested in a solution. And, like, I'm trying to help.
We're not.
Okay?
All I have is hatred. I have a lot of bad feelings towards the global north, and you're going to have to deal with that.
If you could
speaking
look forward, maybe you could get some little jokes off.
This is funny. This is funny to
speaking
other
of hatred,
people who
speaking
are
of hatred.
Down here.
Speaking of hatred.
Go ahead.
Speaking of
yeah.
hatred.
Go ahead.
We're on a clock. On
speak.
This episode, I didn't like the way that the, like, native stuff was happening. I know they were kind of trying to be, like, they weren't being, like, very offensive, but it was kind of, like, is there a reason it had to be like this if you weren't going to, like,
do
more intense episode about some kind of law? Like, it's just that classic thing of, like, oh, there's something spooky yeah. happening in America. What, like, culture can we, like, take the law from to, like, create a story kind of thing? But in my heart locket, it's double-sided. One side, of course, is Cass and the bullet. It is so fun. The bullet and then, like, 5 minutes later or whatever when he's, like, on the ground in front of the car, that's kind of together. And then
good.
On the other side of the heart locket is Sam in this episode. I love him so much. It's like...
Oh, he's so funny.
It's maybe, like, it's, like,
funny, top... Funny, sad, amazing.
Top three Sam episodes. Like, it's he's funny... There. He is, like, so devastatingly, like, fucked up.
And earnest about it,
that,
too.
Yeah, in ways that we can elaborate on as he goes to the end of the trials or whatever. But the scene where he, like, particularly the scene where he talks about the, like, book that he read and he thought that he couldn't ever be, like, a hero like that, where it's, like,
yeah,
he's literally a hero in so many
ways. That's great.
And it just, like, reflects really how he feels about himself. And it's, like, the whole kind of, like, OCD Sam, like, headcanon. Yeah. And it's, like, oh, I just love it so much. But, yeah, that's mine this week. How about you, Jessica?
Tell us, babes.
So, for me, my heart locket is definitely Naomi calling Cass a spanner in the works. Because I said it when we talked about it. But that's my favorite
classic,
sort of,
beautiful.
like thing that anybody ever calls Cass. I just think it's cool, and unlike a lot of, like, turns of phrases on Supernatural, I think it actually does sound cool.
Yes, I agree with you.
Versus, like, somebody sitting in a room being like, yeah, that's fucking sick, dude. So that's what I like. And then what I dislike, I don't really have, like a big hatred in this episode. Maybe that's because I watched it on 2X. And
that'll do something.
It was just kind of zipping really along.
They were zooming around on your screen like cats. Yeah.
I was, like, at work. I was walking my dog. I was, like, I was multitasking. As I'm multitasking now, so if you hear weird shit on my recording, it's because I'm trying to get dressed and pull the clothes that I need for tomorrow. So I am sorry, gang. Sometimes life gets in the way.
You're being fantastic. Thank you for being here.
Okay, well, that's basically what I have to say.
We haven't even really been able to mourn that this is better than the last ep. This is all happening too quick. I thought we had more time.
It's okay.
It might have been the best way to record this episode, because otherwise we would, it would be 3.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's okay. Let's, you know.
Yeah.
There's other TV writers.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Mm. Speak on that. And we'll get to Yawk era soon, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah, I'm hanging out.
Yawk.
That's okay.
Anyway, so that's been our episode on The Great Escapist. So join us next time when we talk about Clip Show. And we get to see more of Metatron, which, not my favorite, but we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll go through it.
Okay.
We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it. So you can always follow us on Tumblr. That's where we're most active, at thecastcast.tumblr.com. We do have a Twitter, but, you know, it's whatever.
It's mostly Ella on there.
And then you can also email us, and we love to get emails, and that's thecastcast@gmail.com.
We're precious.
So those are the places that you can connect with us. And we've had a great time here today, and we love you very much.
Love you guys.
We love you.
Keep well.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Yippee.
Yippee, dude.
Did we miss Benny's last episode? Is that, like, has that already happened?
I
think we're done with Benny.
No.
We're done with Benny. It's over. Let it go. It's over. He's out of here. Him and his hat.
It's never over.
just like Jeff Buckley said. hold on. Sorry. Okay, then we've got it done, and I am ready to go.
Me too.
Yippee.
Stop giggling.
I wrote woohoo in my notes, so I think we're on the
fucking
same
fucking professional. Get it together.
Somebody recently at work, probably, I said, like, yippee to something, and they were like, no, I'm being serious. And I was like, I fucking am too. Jesus. I said yippee.
Oh, no.
I wouldn't say yippee sarcastically.
Wow. I thought you were, like, jaded.
It's not in your nature. You're not, I mean, you can be jaded, but saying yippee sarcastically, that's not
That's
you.
Never me. That would never. I would never.
One thing you are serious about is using old timey language.
Yippee is.
Yeah, that's true.
I would never.
It's sacred.
Ever say that sarcastically.
Even in 5 years, when it's fallen out of use as an expression of sincere glee,
it won't fall out in 5 years. You know why? Because it's Paleolithic in origin.
Okay, let's speak.
So.
God, I love you so much. Okay.
You know?
Shall we record this episode?
Yeah, let's do it. I was like, you know, it would be kind of funny as if I did, like, a blood-curdling scream and then just, like, never answered, like, any text or anything like that.
That's fucked up. I can't believe you would do that to us.
Well, you didn't do it, did I?
I would email you.
You better fucking not. Now if you do it, we'll know it's a bit.
Yeah, exactly.
The girl who cried.
Unless I literally get murdered right now.
The girl who blood curdle screamed.
Yeah.
Blood curdle scream.
I'd probably say something stupid if I was getting like murdered by a home invasion. I'd probably be like, hey, get out of here. Who the fuck are you?
whoa.
Like, hey, hang on. What?
What? Can we talk about this?
It's like, oh, her last words were, wait, I'm not, I don't want to.
What? Wait, my podcast.
Wait, please don't stab me.
Something like that. I need to finish watching every Castiel episode of Supernatural.
Like, my last word would be like, come on. What the heck?